Check. Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to early morning prayer this morning. Let's turn our Bibles to Job chapter 1. Job chapter 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was blameless, upright, fearing God and turning away from evil. 7 sons and 3 daughters were born to him. His possessions also were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and very many servants. And that man was the greatest of all the men of the East. His sons used to go and hold a feast in the house of each one on his day, and they would send and invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. When the day of feasting had completed their cycle, Job would send and consecrate them, rising up early in the morning and offering burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, "Perhaps my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." Thus Job did continually. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. The Lord said to Satan, "From where do you come?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "From roaming about on the earth and walking around on it." The Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? For there is no one like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, fearing God and turning away from evil." Then Satan answered the Lord, "Does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge about him and his house and all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But put forth your hand now and touch all that he has. He will surely curse you to your face." Then the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not put forth your hand on him." So Satan departed from the presence of the Lord. Now on the day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house, a messenger came to Job and said, "The oxen were plowing and the donkeys feeding beside them, and the Sabians attacked and took them. They also slew the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, another also came and said, "The fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I alone have escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, another also came and said, "The Chaldeans formed 3 bands and made a raid on the camels and took them and slew the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, another also came and said, "Your sons and your daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house, and behold, a great wind came from across the wilderness and struck the 4 corners of the house, and it fell on the young people, and they died, and I alone have escaped to tell you." Then Job arose and tore his robe and shaved his head, and he fell to the ground and worshipped. He said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Through all this, Job did not sin, nor did he blame God. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for this morning. We invite you, Lord, to come and speak to us, God, through this book of Job and through the time of worship and through the time of prayer that we will have. I pray that you would speak with us and meet with us, and we just want to thank you for your presence that is here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So I've been reading Job in my own personal devotional time. So it was interesting that Pastor O, last Sunday at the 2 p.m. service, he talked a little bit about Job. I think Job is really an incredible book and very, very puzzling. You know, if you read it, it's confusing. It's shocking, but I think it's also very refreshing and exciting, because it gives us a really different perspective about God and our relationship with God than what we normally just come to believe in our Christian faith. You know, it's a refreshing look because it's so different from everything else in the scriptures and so different from everything else that we've come to kind of become familiar with in the church. So if you've read the book of Job, you know what happens. So Satan is roaming about the earth and he goes before God and God says, "Have you seen my servant Job? He's blameless, he's amazing, he's upright." And Satan says, "Job's not like that for nothing. It's because you've blessed him so much that he worships you like this. So if you strike him, he's going to turn away from you." So God gives Satan permission to attack Job. So first, the chapter that we read, Satan attacks Job's family and his possessions. You know, everything that he owns basically is gone in a few hours, it seems like. You know, the servants come right after, one after another, telling Job, "Hey, you've lost this, you've lost that, you've lost everything." But Job worships God, right, as we see in the end of this chapter. But the very next chapter, Satan goes back to God, and God says, "Have you seen Job? You did all that, he still worships me." And Satan says, "See, but you haven't attacked his physical body. You've given him health. If you take that away, he's going to curse you." So God gives him permission. Satan goes and gives him sores all over his body, boils all over his body. And Job still doesn't turn away from God. He still worships God. And then the rest of the book, for 40 chapters, is a dialogue. It's not really a story. It's a dialogue between Job, his three friends that come to comfort him, and then God appears at the very end to give his insights and his thoughts. So I encourage you to go and read it. You know, we talked about it a little bit on Sunday, and I'm talking about it today. It's a very intriguing, interesting, very challenging, refreshing look at God and our relationship with him. But what I want to do is I want to interpret this book in the context of God's goodness. It's a very difficult book to really interpret and understand, but I think we should look at this book of Job not separated from, just, you know, not taking it by itself, but really in the context of the entire Bible and in the context of God's goodness. We know from Scripture that God is good. Jesus, in Matthew chapter 6, talks about our good Heavenly Father who will take care of us, who will take care of all our needs. And we know through Scriptures that God is our good Father, that He is a good God. In Romans 8, 31 to 39, it talks about God. He says, "God, if God is for us, who can be against us? If he did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things?" And then it says, "In all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." So we know that he is good. We know that God's goodness is true, it's real, it's scriptural. We know about the love of God, the love of the Father, and the love of Christ, that nothing will separate us from the love of Christ. He is not for us. I mean, he is for us, not against us. His goodness was proven at the cross. So we know the goodness of God, and yet what we see in the scriptures, in the book of Job, is that all this calamity is permitted to come upon Job. So our initial reaction, I'm sure for many of us, we read the book of Job, we think, why? You know, I don't understand what's happening. Why is this happening to Job? What's going on, God? I don't understand. And as I was reading through Job again just a few days ago, this thought came to me that God is confident that he alone is enough for Job. You know, God is confident that even if everything was taken away, his goodness remains, and he is confident that he alone is enough for Job. That his goodness is not dependent upon his blessing, but his presence and his very existence is enough. That's enough for Job. He doesn't have any reservations about putting Job through this suffering because he knows that it's going to be okay. So, you know, sometimes we hold on to a lot of things in life. We desperately hold on to a lot of things in life. And sometimes God will shake us and challenge us to let these things go. And it feels so hard at the time. But God doesn't sit there and feel bad about what he is making us do. You know, he is confident. He says, no, you think it's really important. This thing that you're holding on to, you think you're desperate for this, that you really need this, that this is really important for you. But trust me, you don't. And when we're able to give that up, we reach a new level. So I just think of it, you know, I'm a youth pastor, so I work with a lot of youth, and I compare myself to our senior pastor, Pastor Sam, right? And Pastor Sam, if you've been at this church, if you know that SP is a demanding, sometimes it's a demanding church. Pastor Sam will ask a lot of us. He'll say, don't give me any excuse, just do it, right? And sometimes I try to be like that to my kids in youth group, but I find that I just feel bad. I'm like, oh, they're so demanding. It's like, I don't know if I can really put this upon them. Like, whatever it is, fasting or coming to early morning prayer, whatever it is, I'm like, I don't know if I can really do that. Because part of me is like, I don't know. I don't have the confidence in my heart to say, no, trust me, this is good for you. Just do it. Suck it up and do it. Because if you do it, if you give this up, whatever it is, this comfort, this convenience, it's going to be good for you. But see, I don't have the confidence to be able to tell that to my students. But P. Sam has the confidence. He just knows. If I know this is hard for you. Coming to EMP every day is hard for you. Fasting 21 days. I know it's hard for you, but it's going to be good for you if you do it. If you let go of this inconvenience. I mean, if you let go of this convenience and inconvenience yourself for this, it's going to be good for you. So there's this confidence in knowing. And so he's not ashamed or afraid to demand a lot from his people. God's the same way. You know, God, he's confident in his goodness, and he's confident, well, this is my understanding of this scripture, that he's confident that even if everything was taken away and stripped away from Job, he is confident that he is enough for him. So he's able to say, yeah, go through this. Jesus is the same way in the Gospels. He demands greatly from his followers. Jesus does not shy away from demanding everything from his followers because he knows what is truly good. You know, he says, leave your father and mother, sell all that you possess, give to the poor, and follow me. I think the problem is that our definition of good is different from God's definition of good. God truly believes that he is enough for us, but do we truly believe this? When we read through Job, our initial reaction, I think reveals that maybe we don't truly understand and we don't truly believe that God alone is enough. So this is Satan's argument as well, right? Satan's thought is, hey, you know, God, surely Job worships you and he trusts you and he is blameless, righteous, because you have blessed him. So surely the man's greatest concern is, what is in it for me? You know? What is in it for me? That's what Job's asking. What's in it for me? And if you take that away, if you take away the blessing, the finances, the wealth, and everything, he will turn away from you. So God says, okay, do it. See, I would think that God should say no. I feel like God should say no to Satan. God should say, you evil being, you evil Satan, what are you talking about? I'm not going to let you do that. You stupid, you know. No, don't do that. But see, that's not what God says. God says, okay, go ahead and do that. Go ahead and remove all material, financial, everything, all the blessings. See,
I think my mindset is also like the devil's. You know, my mindset is surely, our question is, what's in it? Surely if you took everything away from Job, that's not going to work. And so so to God, I feel like, God, you can't do that. You can't do that to people. Because our biggest concern is, what's in it for me? And that's probably how I operate as well. But God is different. You know, God is okay. He's so okay with taking everything away. Somehow he knows. He's fully convinced that if everything was taken away and he alone was left for Job, he is fully convinced that it is enough for Job. He is convinced that it would be very silly for Job to leave God when all the material things are gone away. So he allows Satan to do this. I think it's very challenging for us. I mean, to think about this, you know, I think about my life and what would I do? If something like this happened to me, do I know that God is truly enough? You know, if just God, you know, we sing that song, all of you is more than enough for all of me. Do we really mean this? I mean, are you sure that all of God is more than enough? I mean, if everything was taken, we sing this all the time. All I need is you. All I need is you. You are more than enough. We sing this all the time, but Job goes through this. You know, and unless we go through something like this, we just don't know. You know, we just don't know. And I think we have it so easy in Hong Kong, in the West. Our Christianity is so easy. We're not giving up very much. We're not suffering really for Christ. We're not required to give up very much for our faith. But I think the book is there for us to kind of grasp or to wrestle with this and fight with God about this. And you know, there are people in our lives, in our church, that are going through maybe something like what Job is going through. And I just want to say, the other thing that Job teaches us in this book is to be honest with God. You know, to be honest with God. And if you're someone that is not going through suffering, and we are looking at somebody going through suffering, our instinct is to try and comfort them. We don't like to see our friends suffer. So when we see them, we just feel bad for them and we try to like make them feel better. We try to give them advice and things like that. But one of the things that Job teaches us is don't do that. You know, like let that person wrestle with God. Be there for them, sure. Be present with them. Suffer with them. But don't try to justify God. Don't try to justify what is happening in that person's life by talking, you know, because it's going to sound very trivial to that person that's going through that suffering. And well, we see that Job is able to trust God, but in the end, trust is not what we think it looks like. Trust is not just kind of convincing ourselves and trying to justify what's happening for God, but trust is what Job did, which is really, if you read through Job, Job questions God. Job is like, you know, it's so raw. If you read through the book of Job, and that's why it's so refreshing, because Job is so raw and so honest with God, and he's so real with him. We have our rehearsed answers at church, you know? If you've been coming to church long enough, we know our rehearsed answers. I compare it to a press conference after an NBA game. I don't know if you watch the NBA. But if you watch the game, after the game is over, they have a press conference and guys like LeBron James, Dwayne Wade will come on the scene and they'll ask him a bunch of questions about the game. But see, they don't really give you the real answer. They just give you a rehearsed answer. Everything, if any question is kind of controversial, like let's say there was a fight in the game or there are many, many fouls, technical fouls, whatever, they'll ask him about that and they just say, oh, you know, we're just playing basketball. You know, we're playing hard. Intense game. We're just playing basketball. Every answer is, we're just playing basketball. They don't ever want to give you the real answer of what they're feeling inside. Unless you're a friend of LeBron or Dwayne, you wouldn't really know what is really going on the inside. They have a rehearsed answer they give to the press. And we in the church, sometimes we always have rehearsed answers that we give to people. rehearsed answers about God and suffering and things like that. But what's so refreshing about Job is that he gives real responses to God, you know, from the heart. And if you're here in the second service this past Sunday, Pastor O gives an example of this real response. He says, now when he meditates upon Job, his response to God is, God, please don't let me go through this. Please don't let me go through this. I don't know if I can go through this. I don't know if I can handle this. And I think that's so refreshing that he's not up there saying, yeah, we all need to be like Job and trust God and go through suffering because he's good. But he says, I don't know what I would do if I went through this. And his response is, God, don't let me. Yeah, that's refreshing and that's real. And God, I think, is looking from us these real responses instead of rehearsed church responses. So, not a lot of answers from the book of Job. More questions, really, than anything else. But let's just meditate upon this idea that, you know, is God really enough for us? If we were to go through something like this, how would we react? And let's also kind of go before him honestly, give him real answers, and kind of move away from just rehearsed answers to God. So let's go before the Lord in the time of worship, and let me just pray for us. Holy Spirit, thank you for this time. We thank you for a book like Job in the Bible, God, that it's not just, it doesn't all just kind of make sense, and it's not always just principles, God. But Lord, sometimes there are things that happen and that Scripture deals with times of our lives that doesn't make any sense, God. That it deals with times when we're disappointed or when we're suffering. And I pray, Lord, that all of us here today, that we would be able to wrestle with you with things like this, God, and with this question of, is God really enough for us? Is God's presence and his existence, is that enough for us? Or, yeah, sometimes we also think like Satan in this book, God, that that our concern is really, what is in it for me? You know, what is, am I going to be blessed? And am I going to gain all these things if I come to Christ? And I just pray, Lord, that you will speak to us and be with us this morning as we meditate upon this book. And we want to come before you in worship, God. Thank you, Lord. Let's just go before God. Let's consider those words, Jesus. You're all this heart is living for. And let's ask the Lord if that's true in our hearts. And let's just meditate upon that and kind of go before the Lord with that. Thank you, Lord. Let's turn to our community prayer focus. Let's pray for those of us, our family members going through cancer. Truly, I mean, they're going through a time of suffering and confusion and questions. And let's pray that God's presence will be with them and that they'll be able to go before God honestly and wrestle with God, and that God would come. Only God can satisfy their questions and their confusion. So let's pray that God's presence will be with them. Let's also pray for healing. You know, we believe that God is our healer. We know that He moves in healing in this day and age. So let's really pray and lift them up. Pray for God's healing and also for the transplant. Let's pray that will come through quickly. So let's pray for breakthrough. Let's pray together. If we can add Becky's father on the list, Becky Sine, Larry and Becky. Becky Sine's father was just diagnosed with an aggressive form of cancer. Larry's going on Thursday to the States, and I think he's going to start chemo right away. So let's just pray for Becky's father as well. Let's turn to the next slide. Let's pray for those of our friends and family members who are not believers yet. Let's pray that God will move in their midst, bring not just healing, but also salvation. Let's pray with faith. And I know you can't cover everybody, so whoever sticks out to your mind, or if you want to start from the bottom, you know, then it's a different way you can cover some more people that way. So let's pray for the people on this list. Let's pray for others of us going through different infirmities. Let's pray for God's healing to come upon them. Let's pray together. Let's go to the next slide. Let's pray for those of us looking for employment. Let's pray for breakthrough. Let's pray in this time of waiting that God would speak to them and reassure them, and God will direct them, guide them. So let's pray for our friends going through this time. Let's pray together. Let's pray for our Tuesday prayer focus. Let's pray for China. Pray for the Beijing retreat. It's going on right now. Let's pray for an amazing time. Pray for P. Sam and Hyde, Annette, Bonnie, and Elise is there. I don't know if I'm missing anyone, but let's pray that they will have a lot of anointing, and they'll be able to really pray and minister to people. Let's pray for the Chong family in China, and pray for my parents, please, that are ministering in China, and the Basaraba family, and Leanne, and Edie Clark, and the Chichihar children, and just pray for China, the churches there, and pray for the nation. Let's lift up China and what God's doing there. Let's pray together. Let's pray for the staff of our church. Pray for Pastor Sam, Pastor Eugene, Pastor Carol, Pastor Sophia. She just came back from Australia. Myself, Kenny, Monica, Bonnie, Sarah, Janella, Pastor Hyunsu. They're just joining staff now. So let's really pray for God's protection and His anointing over us. And please pray that we will fall deeper in love with Jesus every day, that our intimacy with Him will grow. not stay stagnant. So pray for the staff. Let's pray together. Pray for the worship team and the AV, audio and video team. Let's pray for a heart of worship, a heart of serving. And let's pray also for them that they would fall deeper in love with Jesus, that their worship on Sunday would be an overflow of their worship during the week. So let's pray for the worship team and the sound and PowerPoint team. Let's pray for the house churches meeting today. Bonham, Kennedy, Kowloon, Lan Kwai Fong, OPR. Let's pray for God's grace, His mercy, His blessing over the house churches. Let's pray together. Let's pray for the men and women's retreat coming up. Men's retreat's this weekend, women's retreat next weekend. Let's pray for the men's retreat that the guys that haven't signed up yet will sign up. Let's pray that God will move in their hearts and move in their work situations to free up their schedules. And let's pray that it will be really an amazing time. So let's pray for the retreats coming up. Father, we thank you so much for your love. Thank you for your word. And I thank you that that you are with us, God, in all that we do. And help us to trust you. And help us to really know that you are enough for us, God. And be with us this day as we go about our day. I pray that we will be able to bring joy to your heart in some way. I pray your blessing over each and every one of us, God, your presence to go with us. Help us to think of you throughout the day. And we want to say that we love you and that you are worthy of our worship, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Just a reminder that there's no EMP tomorrow because it's a public holiday. So we'll see you guys on Thursday. God bless you guys.